hello, welcome to our podcast. We do not have a name yet, but today we will be discussing Christmas movies. Don't laugh, you just heard it in there now.
That's fine. I don't think people are going to mind.
All right. Today we are going to be discussing a couple of different Christmas movies that people like to watch at this festive time of year. So the movie I chose to watch was Love Actually, aka one of the greatest, most beautiful, loving, romantic, festive movies of all time. And my partner's movie is...
I chose Batman Returns, and I just want to prelude this by saying I'm not generally a fan of comic book movies, aside from maybe a couple of the X-Men movies. I generally think comic book movies are shit. I think Same. They're the lowest form of cinema. They're like the McDonald's of cinema, especially Disney-made comic book movies. But this was a different time. This is back in 1992. It's directed by Tim Burton, who has made a lot of shit in his career. But this is when he was riding his high. And I think this is not just a great comic book movie, not just a great Christmas movie, but just a damn good movie in general.
It was quite good. Like, I wouldn't give it a 10.
I mean, it's not perfect, but I think it's a very, very strong film for a... And all right, so I'm going to say right off the bat, we had an argument about even doing this movie because she did not think it was Christmassy enough. And I really had to kind of twist her arm to watch it.
It's true.
But in retrospect now, do you still feel completely the same way as you did before? As far as like, no, this is not a Christmas movie? Or are you a little bit changed or just...
I mean, hey, I'd say I am definitely have a slightly changed mind. I wouldn't say it would be my general selection for a Christmas movie. But there are obviously a few different elements that make it a good movie. First of all, the obvious one would just be the plethora of Christmas decorations and festivities everywhere in the movie. And that does keep you in the Christmas mindset, even when all this stuff's going on.
The cinematography, the production design in this movie is absolutely incredible. And Tim Burton often does good in that space. But yes, in particular, there's so much Christmas imagery from beginning to end in this movie that even if maybe some of the plot elements aren't super Christmassy, just having that constant, you know, Christmas tree, snow, Christmas lights, you know what I mean? It really, I feel, gives a very festive mood.
Well, actually, I think that because the set is filled with so much holiday Christmas cheer, it is a stark contrast to the characters' lives and their minds. So the festivities make the darker things more dark, and the dark moments seem darker because they're surrounded by beautiful lights and Christmas trees and all that jazz.
And I feel like that may have probably been the intention for maybe setting it at Christmas. But I also feel as if I feel it's very poignant to be set at Christmas because... And another reason why I think this is a good Christmas movie is because Christmas, for a lot of people, is a very miserable time of year. And in this movie, we have some really miserable people who are dealing with depression in different ways and a very big contrast between them. I mean, you have everything from a billionaire to just somebody average, you know, a secretary living in an apartment to somebody living in a sewer. So you have a very stark contrast of the different classes of people and how they can all be depressed and miserable at Christmas time.
Yeah, Christmas definitely brings that out in people. I'm totally understand that. So I think the movie's kind of about how people cope at times like this with a lack of family and how the decisions they make affect their lives when they're in these awful mindsets being surrounded by so much forced positivity. They're like... Hey, this is shit.
Yeah. And personally, I feel like there is more, I don't know if I would say love per se, but I feel like there's a lot of emotion in this film. And I would say more so than Love Actually, because Love Actually to me is...
statement.
There is, I believe I counted 9 separate storylines over the course of 136 minutes, which averages out to about 15 minutes per story. Now, some got more time, some got less time, but for the most part, there is not a lot of time to do much with these stories. And as a result...
Yes, you cry. Or is that just...
Yes, I just feel like there's not much substance because the storylines, because they're so short, they have to be very, very basic. And that's why I don't generally care for these types of movies where it's like, oh, let's get a bunch of famous people together and tell a bunch of interconnected stories. Because for the most part, a lot of them end up being very bare bones, basic stories without much of arcs, really. And so even if it's not necessarily my preferred genre, I try to look at it as objectively as possible. And objectively, it's difficult for me to invest in characters who I'm only seeing for such a short time. And I'm not really being given a lot of backstory, a lot of motivations and stuff. It's kind of like, for instance, I really like Bill Nighy as an actor. I think he's incredible in pretty much everything he does. But his storyline is basically just, I'm an old musician and I'm kind of selling out a bit to make a Christmas song. And it starts off not doing well, but then it does good. And I decide in the end to spend Christmas with my manager. There's like not really anything to the story. It's kind of.
What's wrong with that? I love that. You don't need to lay it all out. There's character development as it goes on. And to be fair, his is like probably the least interesting story if you're gonna go plucking stories out of there.
Well, I think.
Like, he was a bit of a laugh, but it also shows that he puts his friendship over his career, and then like maybe more because they like kiss randomly.
But again, though, I feel like it wasn't earned because, again, because we're spending so little time with these characters, it just kind of went from 0 to 100 without really giving us the in-between to build that. Another example, I would say, are the two people who were doing the adult film. I don't know what exactly they were doing.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Okay, I think this is just your cynicism popping its ugly head up and saying hello, because I'm like, give me 15 seconds of the scene. I already love the characters. I already know their objectives. I'm already down for it. I know that you know it and you get it, but I don't need all that backstory to become emotionally linked and attached, because I guess I just have a beautiful, pure, warm heart. What can I say?
I thought on the surface, like initially, I thought that was maybe the most interesting story because just the concept of it, like an awkward situation you would have to imagine being in, where it's like you're kind of starting backwards. You're starting, you know, more
First.
physical stuff, and then you're getting to know a person.
I know, but it was so cute and funny. Like, he's like pumping her, and then he's like, do you want to get a coffee or something? I'm like, wow, that is a ruffle and a half, and I love it. And it's all so cute. It's
I'm
cute to
fine with
me.
that. Here's where my problem with it comes into play. When he finally asks her out after a few times we see them doing this, very brief things, mind you, we're only seeing them for like a minute at a time. And then when we see them again, we don't even see the date or anything. He's bringing her back to her place, and it's just that's
That
it.
doesn't matter. Yeah, but you don't need everything. Like, it's like put two and two together. Have you ever watched a movie before? It doesn't have to be in real time.
No. I'm not saying it does, but I feel like that was an entire middle of a story that just didn't exist. Like, for instance, the middle of that story, had it had time to be properly fleshed out, would have been them going out and then maybe seeing them trying to adjust to being in a completely different environment.
Yeah, but I mean, like that again, the second story you've chosen from that movie has less substance than the other stories anyway. So I feel like that is already a shorter story.
Those are a couple of the stories that I guess stood out more to me.
Oh my God, that's so weird. They don't stand out the tomatoes one.
A lot of the other stuff for me was just so sappy and just melodramatic.
Well, that is kind of the point of the movie. It's called Love Actually. I'm pretty sure they're trying to appeal to women, lonely people. Hey, people who appreciate comedy, Christmas movies. What am I saying? Love Actually is a movie for everyone. Yeah, I'm sure you liked it. I'm sure you maybe even like, did you be honest? Did you ever get like a slight tear in your eye?
No, it was actually excruciating for me to sit through.
Oh, really?
I was watching the clock, like, how much longer is this going to be?
Okay, well, here's the real key to whether you're like heartless or not. This is a renowned moment. Okay, if you had to pick out,
Don't,
I won't
please don't
say
tell me, please don't tell me the moment with the stupid cards.
it. Oh my God, no. That's like pretty cute, but now that I look back on, okay, actually, let's just quickly talk about that. That whole relationship
Was awful.
is really problematic, and like, really, like, what kind of best friend
Yeah.
shows to his new, like, fair enough if he wants to film her at the wedding and be a creep, that's fine. But he shows up to the house, like, gives her his bloody love spiel. And then she runs back and kisses him. I'm like, okay, you just cheated on your husband. Rude. No, not that thing. No, but I know that's one of the ones that everyone quotes and everyone posts videos of it. I'm like, that's a bit meh to me. But anyway, what I was going to say was the most heart-wrenching, shattering, breaking scene. Oh, I can't even talk about it. Is when Emma Thompson, who is the wife of Alan Rickman, who's Snape,
Hans Gruber,
unwraps the present. Not a necklace. Oh my god, honestly, that's a lot for me to actually take in, particularly going through a breakup. I was like, wow, that's a lot. And then she just cries in the room. And then before she leaves, she's like straightening out the bed and she's like, come on, kids, like, come on. And she just really holds it together. I was like, wow, that is really difficult to watch. Every single time I watch it, I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
That's another story that
little. Well, no, look, it's not a nice story, but it's probably has happened to someone before. Like, it's realistic and it just shows her, like, human. It's a reflection on the flaws of the human condition.
Right, that's but what I'm saying, for me, again, though, my issue with this is because of the format of the movie. I feel like it wasn't properly explored. So, for instance, at the end, apparently he goes somewhere on a trip and then he comes back and it's like, okay, well, did they work it out or together? They didn't even really tell you much of anything.
I know that. They can't tell you everything. You've got to put two and two together. What I would think in my perceptive mind is that maybe he had to go away on a work trip or something, or she said, fuck off for a while, I'm sick of you. And then realistically, being in a relationship with children, I think you sometimes, well, hope it never happens to me, but you have to make difficult decisions whether, like, someone's mistake is worth breaking up a relationship, or whether you, as hard as it is for you, try and forgive them and, like, let yourself trust them again a tiny bit and let them back in. And we can only assume that's what happened. And I mean, I don't blame her.
You're absolutely right. But that's the problem, is because everything you just said should have been in the movie. Like, we should have seen that in the movie.
No, because that's not what this movie is. It's not a movie that goes fully in depth to stories. It's a movie that,
it couldn't if it wanted to, because there's 9 stories in 136 minutes.
Exactly. That's the style of the movie. Duh. It's like, you can't complain. That's the format of a movie. I don't think there was any other, like, moments that were unnecessary in, like, anyone's story. Like, I think they all came together well and perfectly, with elements of, like, humor and...
I'm going to tell you the other thing is why my problem with movies like this. And I know there's other movies like this, like, He's Just Not That Into You, and...
Yeah, I like that too. It's a cute one.
There's a lot of these similar types of movies where it's like, how many famous people can we get in one movie? And we'll have little interconnected stories. But here's my problem with these types of movies. There's no point for any of it.
Well, except to make people feel, you know, love... happiness.
But I mean, as looking at it as a movie, as one singular movie, if you removed In Love Actually any one of those stories, it really doesn't change any of the other stories at all. It's all linked in such a
superficial way. Is that what you just said?
Yeah,
no, and I get that, but that's fine. It's not meant to be a movie where people marvel at the interconnectedness of the separate plots. Like,
I'm just saying, if you're not going to have them connect in a way that actually makes some sort of point to the, like, Pulp Fiction is a perfect example of a movie where there's different stories, but they all come together to tell one very conclusive story.
I get that, but it's not trying to be like that. And I like when they do mesh in little bits, like when they're at the backstage at the concert and she sees her brother, the Prime Minister, and they hug. I was like, wow, that was nice how that came together. And at the end, I thought it was funny. Yeah, see, the connections don't have to be meaningful. Like, at the end when Liam Neeson and Sam, his son, were at the airport and he was, like, trying to sneak in, and then fucking Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, comes up at the checkout.
No, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why is the guy working in the store just helping this guy out?
Oh my gosh, why do you overthink shit so much? It's funny. It's like, this is the point of, like, you're so skeptical. It's like, just watch the fucking movie, you know?
It's called having a brain, I think.
Oh, radio.
I know people say, "Oh, just turn your brain off and just laugh or whatever." I just, like, yeah, he's funny as a person, but why is he randomly showing up here for no reason other than to just help them out?
It's called comic relief.
Didn't work for me.
Anyway, well, is there any, if you had to choose a favorite story, which one do you think it would be? Like one that made you feel the most entertained or the most positive feelings?
I would say the Naked People, probably.
The what? The musician?
No, the movie, the people making the movie.
Oh, sorry, the Naked People. Oh, okay, that's nice. That's cool for you.
But again,
Well,
I like,
man.
because I appreciated that it was like a unique thing you never really seen before.
Yeah, it's
What
funny.
I'm sure would be an awkward situation to be involved in. But again, I wasn't, the way it ended works, we didn't even see the date they went on, and then she's like, "All I want for Christmas is you."
Oh
Where did that come from? Ugh.
my God, so cute! I actually love it. Before I even said it, I was watching it and I was like, it's you. I already knew she was going to say it. Well, a couple of moments that I thought were quite funny. Well, the whole story, I think, of Hugh Grant as the Prime Minister and Natalie his assistant, I thought that story was quite nice. I didn't appreciate the sexual harassment because fucking been there, done that. But I thought it was really funny. A couple of moments. The first one when he's doing that, like singing, like to jump for my love, you know that? And he's like dancing and shit. And then his assistant catches him and he's like, yep, you know that bit.
I'm aware of it.
Oh, I love that. It's super funny. And also, the bit when he's going at the end to try and find Natalie and he's going house to house. And he gets to one of the houses and there's kids there, and then they're like, "Merry Christmas carols!" And then he starts singing, and he like motions to his driver to sing with him, and then his driver all of a sudden starts like singing in this really like dupe operatic voice. Remember that?
Yeah, I
Like,
remember
that
it.
is comedy. That is comedy. I knew that was coming and I started laughing before the scene even happened. And then when it did, I was just like cacking it. It was just so grand. Like little things. And it was just Hugh Grant's face. Like in his face, he was like, "What the hell?" See, do you even laugh at stuff like that? Like, that is funny. That's what you call funny.
It's not, I don't think it's generally my idea of comedy. It just didn't really do anything for me.
Well, it's a comedic moment and it needs all these comedic moments and stories, or it'll be too much of an intense, dramatic, serious story.
I also, Hugh Grant's stick, it just doesn't, I just
Oh,
don't.
you're not a fan of him?
His whole awkward bumbling kind of thing is just like, I don't know, it's not my kind
Do
of.
you like British comedy though? Because I get the feeling you wouldn't.
I don't think so.
See, that's just a bit of an intelligence marker there. Sorry, no offense. When people say to me that they like American comedy and not British comedy, I'm like, yeah, it just shows you don't have a lot of wit, which is fine. We're all different.
I have plenty of
But I'm
wit.
telling you that British comedy is a lot more self-aware than American. American's a little bit more dumber and slapstick,
Wow.
kind of just like comparing the nations as
Wow.
well. So,
Listen,
anyway.
you want to talk about wit and you want to talk about smart comedy. I know this is a Christmas podcast, but go watch Ghostbusters sometime, okay? That
Yeah, I
movie.
know that's absolute American comedy
No,
at its
it is
on
so,
it, and it's fine. It's
it is so
funny.
smart.
No, I know I get that, but it's smart in like it's just in a different way. Like it's a very obvious kind of humor, whereas British humor you actually have to think for a second, and that's what makes it even funnier because you're not expecting it. Anyway, maybe this can be a whole another podcast, British humor versus American humor.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a different cultures type thing, and
Yeah, I know American culture
maybe
is smart.
being down in Aussie land, you're more in tune with the British sense of humor. You're also British yourself,
That is true.
so I feel like it's just a difference in culture. For me, I just don't like those kind of characters. I don't like the kind of characters that are very shy or
Do you mean self-deprecating?
I don't know.
Because I love that. I love self-deprecating humor. I'm just like, oh my God, give it to me. Give it to me in bulk.
It just aggravates me. I guess the beta type characters, that just, it's difficult for me to watch, you know, being all afraid to ask a girl out and stuff like that. That's just like, to me as a viewer, and it's maybe just my personal mindset, but that's aggravating for me to watch. I just don't identify with those kind of characters. I like characters that are manly and alpha. And the British seems to be a lot about that kind of like beta.
Well, it's not, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. There is a difference in like kind of archetypal main characters slightly. But yeah, I guess that's just different strokes for different folks.
Like I said, I feel like it's just a cultural difference more than anything. But speaking of humor, though, and going back to Batman Returns, I think that movie had some great humor. It had some very dark, suggestive humor that you would not associate with a comic book movie, which is another reason why I don't consider it even like a comic book movie, because...
Yeah, I agree. And generally with Batmans in general, like if I watch The Dark Knight, I don't feel like I'm watching like Iron Man.
Again, this was a different era. This was 1992, and Tim Burton is obviously a very artistic filmmaker, as opposed to these Marvel films, which are made pretty much by committee. Again, kind of like the McDonald's of films. They kind of just come off that quick... get them done quick, get them done efficiently. Let's try not to offend anybody in any way.
Yeah,
and that's true. And Tim Burton, especially in Batman Returns, because in the first Batman, it did so well that they gave him a large amount of creative freedom in the sequel. And they immediately regretted that because the movie made less than the first Batman and it was not well received in a lot of ways. For instance, McDonald's was having Batman Happy Meals at the time, and they were pissed off when they actually saw the movie and they see like the Penguin with like blood gushing out of his mouth, and you know, just like when they see how like gruesome the movie was, they were like, we're selling Happy Meals to kids, like what the fuck. And parents in general taking their kids to the movies weren't thrilled with how dark it was. So that's why when Warner Brothers made their third Batman movie, they kind of got rid of Tim Burton and they went in a much, much lighter toned direction with Batman Forever.
Which is stupid because I feel like the reasons I would usually watch a comic book movie is if it was darker and more violent. I don't know if that sounds bad, but I'd rather watch one like this Batman than like a newer, more like cookie cutter,
yeah,
Flash Pal superhero movie, like something a bit more like raw.
Yeah. And again, you could feel the artistic integrity, like I said, with all of with all of the set design, with the cinematography, the music was tremendous, and it elevated the visuals, like it complemented the visuals so nicely.
Yeah.
And again, that's something I don't get from modern day comic book movies. The soundtracks are generally forgettable, the cinematography is trash.
No, yeah, it was really good. I actually really liked the scene, I'm pretty sure it was one of the first scenes when they were about to light up the big Christmas tree and the city hall was attacked by all these villains exploding out of a massive Christmas box. That was kind of like, I don't know how to say it, like a perfect contrast of ridiculously festive and then all of a sudden super evil and violent. It was a very... cool in an evil carnage kind of way.
And what I really like about it also is it wasn't so cookie cutter black and white with the characters. Like, for instance, Christopher Walken, as bad as he is, in the end, he sacrifices himself to save his son.
I know. I like that. I prefer that. And that's something I liked about this movie also. Even in the other way around, you could have thought in the movie that the little penguin guy was going to eventually be like, oh no, I'm going to be nice now. Mm. But even at the end, he turned back around too. And none of the main characters, well, out of Selina, Catwoman, the Penguin, and Batman, none of them really had a super happy ending, which is good. That's what I love.
Yeah. I love how somber the ending is. But with the Penguin, I love that he's extremely sympathetic, but he's an awful...
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, you feel really sorry for him, but he's an awful person. Like, he's not nice, you know? I mean, he's murdering his own guys for disagreeing with him. He's trying to kill children. Like, I love the one guy. He's like, isn't killing children, sleeping children a bit much? He just shoots him dead.
Yeah, but then, like, well, I don't know, for someone like me, I felt so sorry for him. It's like, it's no wonder you hate everyone. Your parents threw you on a frozen bloody lake.
Well, that's the thing. at the end when his little penguins are taking him away into the water, like you feel.
Oh my God, I went sad. I was like, oh my God.
You feel genuinely moved by that moment, and you shouldn't because he's not a nice guy. But
no, so that's a testament to like the writing. For
yes, absolutely.
I feel like for movies to be able to make you see like the other side of the character and have character development is, I think, really powerful. It means they've done a good job.
Yeah, so yeah, that's why I love that movie. It's been one of my Christmas staples for a very long time. I generally rotate out on Christmas Eve. I watched it a little earlier this year just to refresh it for this podcast. But generally, every Christmas Eve, I rotate between Die Hard, Die Hard 2, and Batman Returns. Those are my three, like, biggest Christmas movies.
Well, hey, maybe now you'll add a third one to your rotation, Love Actually.
Well, that would be fourth.
That's the rotation.
But, no, actually, the new one in my rotation that I started incorporating recently is Gremlins. But I guess I'm a fan of Christmas movies, and we can just talk a little bit about Christmas movies in general. I'm a fan of Christmas movies that aren't so overtly Christmas, that are not that cheesy, like, loving everybody. I like the kind of films that...
Well, they have substance, and it's more like just, no, I totally get what you mean. I generally am not into those cookie-cutter Christmas movies at all. Love Actually is basically my main romantic or positive one. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, I obviously die a thousand deaths for Home Alone 1 and 2. Because there are, again, it's obviously super Christmassy, but really I'm just loving watching these grown men be seriously injured by a child. I love that, but they are definitely the best two Christmas movies, Home Alone 1 and 2, although I chose Love Actually for this segment. There's no denying it.
They're good. I don't know. I'm just not, like, over the moon about the Home Alones. I prefer more murder in my Christmas movies or just overall creepiness.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of guy I am, though.
No, that's fair. Well, as a whole, and after talking about it now more, I do like Batman Returns as a Christmas movie, I guess. More than I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, because when you told me that you had selected Batman Returns, I was like, oh.
Yeah, you were very against it.
I was really against it, and I'm not that against it anymore, so good on you. I've stepped out of my comfort zone, and so did you with Love Actually.
Well, I didn't like that, though. That's the difference.
Keep telling yourself that.
Ultimately, we both watched movies at Christmas that we wouldn't have normally watched.
Yeah.
And some of us liked those movies and some of us didn't. But...
some of us liked the movies and some of us lied to ourselves. That's okay. But yeah, I think that was a good Christmas segment. I wonder if people will relate to our chosen Christmas movies or not. I mean, I've never heard of any other person that has had Batman Returns one of their go-to Christmas movies. But hey, perhaps we will now inspire people.
I feel like it will come soon enough. I feel like it will become a meme in time, because Die Hard is in recent years, people have really started pushing Die Hard as a Christmas movie. And I feel though like it's, I don't know, I feel almost like it's not entirely genuine, because they never talk about Die Hard 2. which I think Die Hard 2 is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard 1, because Die Hard 1 takes place in L.A., whereas Die Hard 2 takes place in D.C. with actual winter weather and more Christmas as far as visuals are concerned. But people never talk about Die Hard 2, they just talk about Die Hard 1. So that's why I almost feel like they're just saying Die Hard to be ironic, and I almost don't feel like they truly believe it's a Christmas movie, they just think it's funny. But I genuinely think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and I watch it, you know, every few years on Christmas Eve. And I have for a very long time, for probably 20 years now. But yeah, the reason I did choose to go with Batman Returns was because it's one that I feel like not as many people acknowledge as a Christmas movie, and I think it deserves to be because it has so much Christmas imagery in it.
Yeah, I think that's something that always helps. Just having the Christmas imagery around can make kind of any movie people equate it to Christmas.
That combined with just the themes of loneliness and rejection and...
Well, I guess the themes of love, and then you can go on either end of the spectrum, whether it's loneliness or love. Like, it's all about... Well, I feel like they have to appeal to people's emotions a bit, because that's like the festive season, time of giving, time of, you know, assessment of your whole year and the relationships in your life.
Yeah.
Well, hope you guys enjoyed that. That was our Christmas podcast discussion. And all I can say is stay tuned for the next one.
Yeah, and I guess if anybody has any suggestions in terms of what they'd like to see as far as individual films or themes, let us know.
All right, well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Happy holidays, we should say. Let's be inclusive. Happy holidays to all. See you next time.